And as you know, we always take this time and we start off just letting someone in our congregation express the gratitude that they have in their heart for what God has done and why they have that desire to worship God welling up inside of them and what we're here for. Today we've got a special day because we've got Macombi here, and in just a minute I'm going to ask him to come up and give his thanksgiving, which he can't thank God for everything he's done because it's been so much. But we want to welcome him here with Christian love and great joy and give him honor that people like him deserve. That's what Philippians 2:29 says. And so I just ask you right now to give God a round of applause for what God has done through Macombi. And we are really grateful for that. So Macombi, I'm going to let you come up and stand up here, and I'm going to let you turn around, and I'm going to brag on you for a minute. So I don't mean to embarrass you, my friend, but I'm going to, because I'm really going to brag on what God has done in Macombi's life. And I know I'm sitting here with some people who, like me, have known and watched what God has done through Macombi for 20 years or more. Some of you are for the first time in here, but this church started years and years and years and years ago, more than 20, because it was before I ever knew him. And Macombi was a witch doctor, not a very good one, no offense. But his father died early. And, you know, they trained their children up. Well, he had not been trained well as a witch doctor. And his grandfather took over, and then his grandfather died. And I think the comment you heard from people was, your magic's not very good.
Yes.
You need some help. Well, it was hard to get help in a country where 90% of the people are unemployed, and the average person lives on less than $2.50 a day. And so he was scraping through a living back at that time during war-torn Uganda, and didn't know where to go or what to do to support his wife. And he had a friend who said, you need to come and meet this Christian pastor. And so he went and through a series of events, found Christ, gave his heart to Christ, felt called to preach the gospel, knew he couldn't do it if he couldn't read the Bible. So he taught himself English so he could read the Bible, felt called to go and minister in a Muslim community. So he taught himself Arabic. Now, I don't know how many of you could teach yourself English or Arabic. So he could read the Quran and become an expert to relate back and forth to them. Started a mission there, which was a church that included him, his wife, and three of his relatives, which were women. Well, that church stayed with those five in a very hostile environment for many years until finally they got their first convert. And things started rolling, because in the Muslim community, when someone accepts Christ, they're out of their family. They're out of the community. And so slowly, things started moving to whereas they had more and more people see what life in Christ was like. And as Macombi thought, okay, we've got these women coming out of here. We can't just let them starve to death. We've got to figure out a way for them to survive. And through the heart that God had given them and the wisdom that God had given them, they actually provided them a much better, stable life than they had before, which added weight to his testimony in the community. And how people heard him started to change. This is just a picture of his church right now. There are three services. So God has done a lot of things in Macombi's life. I've got this picture right here. This is one of the pictures that we got before the first trip. And you think, what is he doing? Well, he's always thanking and praising God. I don't think I've ever been with Macombi where he wasn't thankful for something that God had done or someone God had touched. But helping people get to a place where they have stable lives takes a lot of ingenious. These are fish ponds. They've got eucalyptus farms. They've got chicken farms. They've got all kinds of things that they that they get started up so people can work and actually make a living and stand on their own feet rather than get handouts. And so as they elevate that community, more and more people realize there must be something to Christianity. I want to hear their message. And he's always building. This is the school, because there's children not getting educated, children who don't have a good place to live. Some of you have heard about how many young 10-year-olds are carrying a 3 or 4-year-old because the parents could not afford to have that many children, and so they took the top and sent them off with one, and they're living on the streets. This was a school that he built for children where they come and they actually live. Some of them had never been in a bed like this or had a mosquito net. He's got those children there, educating them, not just in schoolwork, but in Christ, so that they can grow up and not make the bad decisions that their parents had made. That's a huge school for Uganda, if you go in there, and the way it looks. He'd been able to get the materials for them to go to school and to learn, classrooms. There's the school kitchen. Just to give you an idea, they're still in a... It's not the richest community in the world. There's where they cook dinner for all those kids over a fire. There's where they get water and how they carry it. But he's got clean water now. And so they take care of the physical needs of their people, but that's not what they do it. They're not there just to bring water. They're there to bring Christ. But they love their family, and so they help them. Some of you in this room have been involved in medical clinics that we went over there for, and medicines that were provided. And Mukumbi does this as an outreach. They'll train a pastor. They'll give him a motorcycle so that he can earn a living being a taxi driver. They send him out to the middle of, I would say, nowhere. I don't know if that's what you would call it. But he starts to gather people into a church. And once he's got a small group, a family group that's in there of Christians, now he tries to get out there and bring them some help that can attract the community in there where they can see the word and establish a church. And we've done that for him. They bring dental help. This is one that we were actually on right here. As they come in and they're waiting to get medical help, and we're sharing the gospel with them. Then at night they have a crusade. When we went there, there wasn't too many people to come to Christ in the crusade because they'd all been led to Christ going through the things through the interaction with people. The children were the ones who came to Christ. I put this picture up there because it shows you the heart and commitment of the people. You got all these people who are underneath tents because it is pouring down rain. I'm not talking about drizzling. I'm not talking about raining. I'm talking about raining so hard that there was like this much standing water with cables that had duct tape wrapped around them to make the music go. And myself being from here, I was afraid I was going to get electrocuted. But she's out there in the middle of it pouring down rain with no thought other than anything than getting the gospel to these people who were there to hear about Christ. And so they've got a wonderful group of committed people. When you think about five people with a man who taught himself to read English and then taught himself to read Arabic and started a family home church and now has a church that is bigger than this building, packed 3 times, and he's out of that church, planted 195 other churches throughout Uganda, you can see why God says honor them. Because God has done great things through him. And it's an inspiration to know him and to see what God has done. It's amazing. It's amazing to see these people who had no feeling of their need for Christ, worship wholeheartedly, live in a community where if they don't work that day, they don't eat. But if there's a crusade, they go whether they eat or not because they want to bring Christ, and they're going to work and they're going to help. And it's amazing to see what God has done. Oh, I'm going to back that up right now because I'm going to let Mukumbi have just a moment, and we'll have him back up later, but I just want to give you a moment just to just to express your gratitude for God and why he has given you a heart to worship.
Thank you, Pastor. You know, I don't know even where to start from, but when I see what God has done, it's too hard for me to believe that he did all that through me. That humbles me, and I don't deserve any credit. All the credit, if really he's to give credits, let him give it to you. Because I alone, or we on the other side of Africa, there's no way we could have done that if we were by ourselves. I give glory to God who brought you on our way, because now we can see the might hand of the Lord in our home area. Thank you so much for standing with us. Thank you so much. And we always pray for you. When I heard, you know, from our news what was happening over here during the COVID, we call it COVID season, really our heart melted and said, no, Lord, those people, they need to stay. They don't need to go. Lord, please keep them. Let your might hand be upon them, that no devil, no evil spirit can sneak in and, you know, kill, you know, them. So that was always our prayer. Brothers and sisters, thank you so much for being willing vessels to stand and serve him on the other side. That's all I have.
Well, thank you, Mukumbi. Yes, you can. Well, as you can see, there's no way that a human being could have achieved what he did. It is God's spirit working through him. And I know we have some new people here who don't know Mukumbi. I know it's hard to brag on yourself and have it sound good. And so I'll do it a little bit. But it is just amazing what God has done. Those of you who are here know that Mukumbi is not attached to any denominational, he's just a Bible church that he's got there, and he's not attached to any organization that supports him. He decided to come over to America because he felt God was telling him to come to America. And I'll tell real quickly that little story of when he went to get his visa. The night before, of course, he's, you know, everyone's trying to get a visa. The visa place is always packed. And almost no one gets one. But it's always packed with people coming to want a visa to go to the United States. Everybody wants to come to the United States. So he's worried about it. And that night before, he has a dream. And the dream tells him, you're not going to get a visa without financial papers. And so he takes out a piece of paper and gets a pencil. And he writes down what he's got. And he writes down his financial holdings. $5. And so he takes that paper and he puts it in, and he goes and he sits in line and he waits his turn, and they call him up, and he comes walking up and he sits down and he says, the guy says, what can I do for you? He says, I want a visa to go to America. He says, do you have any financial papers? And he goes, I knew it. Yes, I do. God told me to have financial papers. And he pulled out that piece of paper and he handed it to the guy at the embassy. And he opens it up and he realizes that this is a piece of paper Mukumbi wrote. And so, you know, he's reading this, and he looks down at it, and he looks up at Mukumbi, and he says, you're going to America with $5? And Mukumbi says, oh, thank you so much. He didn't realize American sarcasm at that time. And so the guy, he didn't know what to do. And so he took the paper and he said, okay. And he stamped and gave him a visa. And Mukumbi started walking out. Now, this is a true story. I'm saying, he's going, that's right, that's right. He goes walking out and everyone is stunned. And they say, how did you get the visa? How did you get the visa? He says, this is the difference between you and me. I have the Lord on my side. And he walked out. He got on a plane and flew here. And why anyone would pick Chattanooga, there's no telling. But he had a pamphlet that talked about a Christian concert in Cleveland. So he showed up here knowing no one and went to a concert and he met a lady who, in the talking, realized he didn't know anything. So she drove him back to Chattanooga and he got introduced to Jim Hammond, Will Lasseter, and my father, who introduced him to Mike McGinnis, and that was the first time he came here. We're his supporting church. And so every year he comes here, and we talk just a little bit about what he does, and then what we do is, because those of you who've been here know we're not passing the plate for an offering. And even before, when we used to, we don't pass a plate for offering for that. We just let people know, hey, if God puts Mukumbi on your heart, which many of you he has, and you want to support him, we'll be collecting money for a month. We'll be collecting money till the 12th of December, and then we'll send it off to him. And so just letting you know, he is back, and that opportunity is open. But how many of you would you agree that it is amazing what God can do through one person? And there's no telling what he can do through you. There's no telling who God can touch through you. Let's just pray. Father, sometimes it is just amazing to stop and think about what you can do in the life of a person whose heart is surrendered and laid down before you. We want to be those people. And we know that the eyes of the Lord are searching to and fro throughout the whole earth in order to show himself strong in behalf of those whose hearts are completely his. We're at a moment where life stands still for us, and we look up and we want to meet with you. We want to connect with you. We want to hear from you. We want to express our heart of love for you. And we ask you to open our hearts and our eyes and give us the vision of what you want for our lives. As we stand and we sing from our hearts to you, may our hearts be captured by you. And may you move us to where you want us to be. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.